There's a wisdom in the mindset of young children, little truth as well as smiles that are put on our face. And one time Tommy was praying, and his parents oftentimes would listen. He would start off with a simple Hail Mary at the end of his, before he was going to bed, and then a litany of all the blessings. You know, God bless mommy and daddy, grandpa and grandpa, grandpa and grandma. God bless baby brother, Aunt Sarah. And that would be Tommy's normal prayer. Well, one night, mom and dad were listening to Tommy pray, and he finished up, and at the end, he started his litany. And again, pretty much the same. God bless mommy and daddy, grandma, grandpa, little brother, Aunt Sarah. And then he stopped and paused and says, "And especially, God, take care of yourself, because if you don't, we are all sunk." One way you take care of that is your relationship with God. One way you do that is by understanding Tommy's little statement, we're all sunk if we don't have that great relationship that we need to have. There was an explorer who was going with a group of natives, a porter, and a guide, and he was going to explore the Amazon. And took off the first day, and they made a tremendous amount of success in terms of distance into the Amazon. Second day was the same way, with great vigor. Porters, the guide, along with the explorer, again, made a great distance. Explorer was just amazed at the amount that they were traveling. Came to the third day, and no one was moving. No one. He came and he looked, the porters and the guide, they were all on their haunches. He said, "What's the matter? What's happening?" And the guide said, "Oh," he said, "Master," he said, We've got problems. We've got a problem." He said, "Well, what's the problem?" He says, "The natives will not move." He says, "Well, why not?" He said, "They claim they have to allow their souls to catch up to their bodies." I love that statement. They have to allow their souls to catch up to their bodies. They were doing so much work, they were so diligent and kind of responding that they weren't caring for their inner spirits. And they now needed to step back and allow their souls to catch up to their bodies. I know, and myself included, we are very sympathetic to poor Martha, right? I mean, there is no doubt in our mind. We take a look at poor Martha, and we say immediately, "Hey, I'm Martha. I'm oftentimes doing a lot of the work. I'm out there preparing so that everybody else can have a good time." Very sympathetic to Martha. And you know what? Jesus is very sympathetic to Martha also. Because when Jesus says to Martha, "You're anxious about so many things, but only one thing is important." There's an inference there that Martha was more intent on preparing really a good or even great meal for the Lord and presenting that to him than presenting a good or a great friend. A good or a great friend. There has to be a balance in our lives. We have to allow that soul to catch up to our bodies, even though we're producing and doing a lot of great work. And I say that not only to ourselves individually, but I say that to ourselves collectively, even as a church. When I stepped back and prepared the pastoral letter, which has been released throughout our archdiocese, one of the ideas was to reflect upon Martha and Mary. We do a lot of great things. We do a lot of great things in this archdiocese. And we can take a look and see how we are church. But in order to sustain that vigor, to sustain that great sense and that great spirit, we have to understand why we are church. For whom we do all that we do. And it's that which challenges us to move and moves us forward. It's that aspect that gives us that sense and that strength that empowers our souls to understand the love of God in our own lives and motivates us to share that love with others. So even in the context of church, we can fall prey to the Martha who's more concerned about the preparation of something and the doing than the very being. And there has to be a blend in order for the Spirit to work successfully through what we do. Oftentimes I can tell you that's true in families, and I have encountered families where individuals have worked very hard, long, tremendous hours to be able to provide for families, to have those things that they didn't have in their own lives, that they wish their family to have, those things that they wanted their families to have. And I can tell you oftentimes I have seen the destructive aspect of that, when working for those things meant the neglect of the persons who were a part of the family. And as a result, families were shattered and broken, not through any fault of any individual other than the fact that their vision was taken away from that which they had. They were more concerned about what money could buy than what money couldn't buy. Those things that they actually had in their own lives. And honestly, I can tell you that is true for ourselves too. As persons of faith, we have to balance the Marthas and the Marys in our own selves. We have to take a look immediately at how we have that perspective of why we do what we do and for whom we do it. That we really are embracing that person of Jesus Christ in our own lives and want to share that person with others. Faith for us cannot just be a one-hour proposition on a Sunday. It has to be a commitment every day. And how do you maintain it every day? Certainly there were those in the early church who thought this was an affirmation of the contemplative versus the active world in the church, that the contemplative was seen as almost more important. But this is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying it's the balance, it's the understanding, it's the relationship, and it's understanding that that is the basis that drives us and the attitude we have to have in understanding always why we do for whom we do it. And from my perspective, the only thing you can do to be able to maintain that in a proper focus and a proper sense is pray. And how does prayer come in? Prayer simply asks us to do a number of things. Place ourselves in an open relationship before our God. We invite God into our lives. First thing and foremost is take a look at our lives every day and be thankful for those things that we have in our lives. No matter how minimal it may seem, we are thankful that God has provided that for us. And we now understand that God loves us. That's the great power of our faith and confidence in God. God loves you. He loves you. And that love is salvific. It calls us not only to a fulfillment in this world, but outside of this world, where we know we will be one with Him. God loves us. We are His children. There is no doubt about it. And those things which we find in our lives, no matter how minimal it may seem to the rest of the world, they are a sign of God's love for us. So we are thankful. Secondly, we know we are people who do not always live up to the gospel values. There are those times, even within our own lives and our own families, where we are short with our brothers and sisters, with our wives, husbands. We are short with those people that surround us, our co-workers. We understand that we don't always manifest basically the love that we know God has given to us. And so we ask for forgiveness and sometimes healing in our lives. And lastly, we are confident that God is with us and will strengthen us in any of the challenges that we have. In the end of the day, hold those three things in your heart. Take them up to God. And God will make sure, I can tell you without question, God will make sure that our attitude is focused on Him. And that He draws us closer into that relationship. That is allowing our souls to catch up to our bodies. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.